The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
Hey, what's up? Dana Cortez, that's my name. Hello.
DJ Automatic over here.
What up, baby?
What up, LL? Anthony A. Pleasure to meet you, dog.
Man.
Pleasure.
So excited. Okay, so first question out the gate. Obviously, The Force, new project. You're working with Eminem. Now, look, the guys are going to fan out on M and everything. I got to tell you, working with Saweetie, you know, back in the day, you did some J-Lo stuff. How was that? What was that like working with my girl?
I had a lot of fun. We actually went in the studio together. And, you know, it's like, you know, it would have been easy to just make, like first of all, I liked the Best Friend song. I always thought, I just liked that song, you know what I'm saying? I thought her and Doja sounded real cool on that song. So I was like, yo, I would like to work with Saweetie on something. And this just felt like the right song for me and her because, you know, I didn't want to just do it with anybody, and I didn't want to, it just needed to feel right to me creatively. And so, you know, I got with her, and it just made sense. And Proclivities is like, if you in Vegas and you know that you shouldn't be in Vegas because you like gambling, then you got proclivity for gambling. And if if your uncle likes to sit on the couch and sip a little too much scotch, you know your uncle got a proclivity for alcohol. So in this particular song, it's a proclivity for that other thing.
And gotcha.
So, yeah.
And so it was fun working with her.
And she's so sweet and she's so sexy and she's so talented. How do you feel about her? When you saw her, did you think, you know what, this is a talented young woman. I got to work. Or was it like right away you wanted to work with her when you saw her the moment she stepped on the scene?
I just thought it wasn't like that. It's just when I heard Best Friends.
That was the song. Okay.
That song really made me want to do it. And I mean, I thought she was, you know, cute girl, talented and all that, but it didn't strike me to like immediately want to work with her until I heard Best Friend. And then when I was in the studio and me and Tip, we were working on this song and I'm like, you know, I mean, I'm like, damn, baby, I don't know if you dance or not. I'm like, this could be wild. And then I started thinking about her and her voice on it. And sonically, what that would sound like. And, you know, the rest is history. And let me tell you something. She took her time with those verses. She would work on it. She would tweak it. She would, like we went in the studio and then she still would work on it. Her work ethic was there. Like, she really put the work in because I think that it was important to her to deliver at a high level for people because, like, you know, she's rhyming on a record with me and it's kind of like, you know, people are like looking at her like, well, you ain't barred up. What you doing on a record with L? No. Da, da, da. But she really did her thing on that song.
She respected you. She knows your history. She respected the craft because of who you are.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's talk about Murdergram Do, because us real LL Cool J fans know there was Murdergram, the first one, My Mama Said Knock You Out, which I wore that CD out as a child. How did the whole link? How did you link up with Eminem? How did the song come out? How did you and Tip get together and produce the whole album? I want to know all of it.
Okay, so me and Tip got together because the real history is that I had done like a whole bunch of songs with Dr. Dre, and I felt like the music was amazing, but I felt like my rhymes wasn't what they needed to be. I didn't feel like the songwriting was matching the level of the music, so we had took a little bit of a hiatus, right? And then during that time, like, Fife Dawg came to me in a dream.
Fife Dawg, my God.
Yeah, may he rest in peace. Came to me literally in a dream. This is the truth, the honest to God truth. He came to me in a dream. He's like, yo, that new album you're working on is going to be dope. I'm like, yeah. And he was like, yeah. But the way he looked, I was like, he had a look on his face like, maybe not so much. So I was like, yo, it just kind of, it was like a haunting thing. So when I woke up, I was like, yo, something told me call Q-Tip. Say, you know what? Let me call Q-Tip up, man. So I call Tip up. I'm like, yo, Tip, what up? He's like, yo, what up? I said, what's up, big bro? I said, yo, I want to make an album, man. He said, well, what kind of album you want to make? I said, yo, I want to have the blackest cookout in the world and invite everybody. I said, so what is it going to be like? He said, flavor, potato. I said, everything you can imagine, just invite the world. He said, say less, let's do it. So we went in the studio. And we started working. And the thing was, see, what was really important to me is not to make a modern album, but make a new album. Because, see, most people would think, oh, when you work on this record, you're going to try to make a modern album, which means that it sounds like what's going on right now and it's modern. No, I wanted to make a new sounding record, which is different from, which is past modern. Because modern is what everybody's doing now. New.
Stay true to LL Cool J. Stay true to yourself, but be, I get it.
Stay true to myself, but make it new. New. See, true to myself the way Lamborghini or Ferrari or Mercedes would say true with their cars. Like, but they're still giving you a new car or it's a hybrid with new tech in it and a new thing. Even though it's true, it's new, right? And so that was the thing. So, you know, we just went in. Tip was playing with those instruments. We started talking about different sounds and sonics and sharing ideas and music and, you know, rest of the day. Here we go.
It's beautiful. The EV version of LL Cool J is fire. LL, you...
My man, exactly. And then so with the M piece, Tip was working on a beat and I was like, yo, that's crazy. And immediately I was like, yo, M would sound crazy on there with me. He's like, yeah, big bro. He's like, yeah, I agree.
Did you call Eminem? How'd you get a hold of him?
I text him.
Of course you did. Of course you text Eminem.
I sent him the beat. And I'm like, yo, what you think? You want to get on this with me? He was like, yeah, let's do it. I like it. So then what me and M did was we set up we scheduled it. We went out to L.A. We went to Dr. Dre's studio, actually, because he was going to be in L.A. doing something. And I could easily be in L.A. So I just went to L.A. We went to Dr. Dre's studio. We recorded the record back and forth, right? Like right there in the studio together. He would do his part, leave the studio. I would do my part, leave the studio. And we went back and forth like that until the very end. And then we surprised each other with what we had done. We would keep surprising each other with, you know, with the bars that we had done. And then until we got to the end when we were going back and forth. And there it is.
You need a call. You need to text Eminem right now and see if we can get him on a little bit. Anyway, listen.
You're the original GOAT. The original, you know, coined the original phrase. When you came up with that, did you see it lasting this long and going this far?
No. Oh, wow. Bro, I'll be lying. It was an album title, man. Mm. I just thought it was a cool album title. I took Muhammad Ali, obviously, had greatest of all times. And then there was a street basketball player named Earl of Manigault that they called GOAT. And I took the GOAT and took greatest of all times and made it an acronym and squeezed it together and made the album. You know what I'm saying? And in making that album, that term and coming up with that slang, I made it the GOAT, greatest of all times, featuring James Charles Smith. And I put it out there. I didn't know that it was going to turn into a cultural kind of phenomenon, kind of, you know, it's become synonymous with excellence in every genre,
every
field of life.
Yes.
I had no idea, bro. You know what I'm saying? But,
and
yeah.
Speaking of GOATs, bro, your original album came out during Michael Jordan's rookie year.
My sneakers, not only did it come out his rookie year, but I had the first Jordans when he was a rookie on the album cover.
Oh, that's a little Easter egg right there.
First Jordan, like, I was the first Soulja Boy. I was the first.
I swear.
But you really were the first.
I was the first.
The first dude to rock the Jordan in the hip hop world, you know what I'm saying? Because back then, remember, everybody was wearing Pumas or Adidas.
Yeah.
Pumas or Adidas, so I switched to the Jordan.
I want to take it back with this next question. So the song with Busta Rhymes, Hugh in a Chair, is about your aunt. I did not know that your aunt, now, correct me if I'm wrong, she was the first female Black Panther?
She was. And this was new information that I discovered in my life when I did my history. I went back into my history and discovered so many different things. Like my uncle was the first light heavyweight champion, first Black light heavyweight champion in America. Wow. His name was John Henry Lewis. And then my aunt was the first, you know, female Black Panther, and her name is Joan Lewis. And it's like, I just, you know, so I got, you know, family in the Bay Area and all that. And, you know, I just kind of, it was amazing. And it inspired me to kind of, you know, go down that rabbit hole. See, a lot of everything I did on this record was truly inspired. I didn't do anything like trying to like do shock value or just to make a point, or everything was really inspired from the heart. You know what I'm saying? So her being that, and that created interest for me. So then when I saw that picture of Huey, it's a very iconic picture of Huey P. Newton sitting in this wicker chair. You know, if you think about it, if you Google him, you'll see him. He's sitting there and he got this leather, his beret on and his black leather jacket. He's got this, and it just kind of, I'm like, Huey in the chair. He looks so statuesque and he looks so regal in the way he was sitting there. And he was standing on business at his time, for his time, and what he believed in. I thought that was a very inspiring picture. And that picture actually inspired the song.
You have to feel pride, a sense of pride, right? Looking into your history, saying, look at this strong, because you're a strong person. So maybe that's where you got some of that. You didn't even know.
Well, you don't know. Like, listen, my second album cover, right? I'm hitting a heavy bag on the back of the cover. Like, I love boxing. I mean, Mama Said Knock You Out, it's all about boxing. I didn't even know that, you know, my uncle was the light heavyweight champion. Like, he's in the Hall of Fame. Like, so there's so many things that you discover because, you know, my mother, it just turns out my mother was adopted and we never knew it. So I had a whole nother family that was like a very accomplished kind of interesting people. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a trip. So there it is. Who knew?
I was going to take it back to inspiration. I wanted to know if Drake's ever thanked you for all the inspiration you gave him, because I feel like you were the blueprint to what is Drake's career, being that you were a rapper's rapper and also the ladies loved you. Have you guys ever had that discussion?
Honestly, I've never had a conversation with him. I'm happy for his success. I don't know him, though. I don't know him personally. We never had a real conversation. I don't, you know what I'm saying? But I'm very happy for him. And, you know, I think that, listen, man, if I can inspire people and if I can create blueprints and if I can, you know, set a pathway for a guy like him, or if I can come up with a term like GOAT, and if I can show people that you can do it for decade after decade at a high level, then I'm doing what I love. That's what I want to do. I'm doing my job. That's what I was born to do, right? So it's like there's so many different things that I say this humbly, but it's true, man. A lot of people would have to thank me if you really want to go down that road.
It's facts.
Be a long thank you, long line of thank yous, bro. So I don't really need that. I'm just glad that I'm able to do what I love and make it possible for others to do what they love.
I'm surprised you don't know Drake. See, people like us, we just assume, you know, you have Eminem on dial. I just assume you could call Drake right now and say, what's up? Who is it that you'd want to work with? I mean, you could pretty much work with anybody that you haven't yet, that you think, you know what, that's somebody. Would you work with a Drake? Who's like your top three? I mean, they all want to work with you.
I don't feel like, oh, because I'm LL Cool J, I wouldn't work with these guys I would work with Drake. I would work with, if the song made sense, if it was a great song, I'm not going to just, you know, just do something just to be in a room together. Like, you know, like, if the song is dope, though, yeah, I would work with any young new artist. If it's organic and it makes sense. You know what I'm
saying? Is there somebody that stands out that you can think of? Like, well, you know what? That's somebody I might like. Sweetie, you said you heard Best Friend, and that kind of like maybe one day. Is there anybody in particular that you can think of off top?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, because the way it hits me is it doesn't really hit me that way. I think that I don't know who the artist is, but on Twitter you hear 10 tones down when I you hear it sometimes on TikTok and Twitter. I don't know, like, you know that song?
Yes.
Yes. 10 tones down when I, like, I just love the way, like, his voice. I like the way he rhymes. I like the energy on that particular song. But I don't know, I forgot his name.
I think it's, you know, Big X the Plug.
Yeah, Big X. I think it's Big X. X the Plug.
I'm not sure, but I think that's who it is, yeah.
If that's his name, then, like, he...
If
like,
we get it wrong, man, whoever it is going to be like, really, y'all could have mentioned me to LL Cool J?
I just thought he was cool, you know what I'm saying? Like, 10 toes down when I... Yo, I like that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I just want to say congratulations. There are certain people that don't understand. There's going to be people watching this that don't understand the influence, the impact that you've had. And to be honest... We owe our careers as well. We work in the hip-hop industry. We owe our careers to the pioneers like yourself. So thank you so much. If Drake hadn't said thank you, I want to say thank you. And I wish you continued success.
Nah, I appreciate it. And, you know, what's exciting to me is, You know, it's all about the new idea.
Oh, I love
what's
that.
The new idea? You know, what's the new vibe, right? I'm just thankful that, you know, that we're showing them what's possible, right? I'm glad that an artist that's maybe been out 10 years or 15 years can look forward to having 30 more, 40 more.
I know we got to get out.
Somebody can be 15 years in and think they're a vet, and you got 25
yeah,
more.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I want to see an LL Cool J Peso Pluma duet. That's what I want. I'm putting that into the universe right now.
Listen. Yo, listo.
Ya estás listo. You know, Let's go.
You know, siempre. You know what I'm saying? It's like, so whatever. Like, yo, I'm ready to do it, man. Like, we can have some good times with it. You know what I mean?
All right. The
10 Tones Down artist is actually named Humankind, and he's from Houston.
There
so we
go.
Can set that play up.
Okay. There you go.
I like
okay,
that. Yeah, yeah. Humankind. Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I like the way he rhymes. I like his voice. You know what I'm saying? I like his voice.
All right. Thank you so good much. Voice. I know you got to go on to the next one. L Cool J.
Appreciate y'all.
Appreciate you.
Peace and love, baby.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.